Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
My guest for this entire next hour is Ken Herzlick. You might have read about him. For those of you who still read newspapers, you might have read about him Sunday in the Chicago Tribune under a headline, The Knights of Capturing Murder and Mayhem. For 30 years, Ken cruised these streets, providing you, television viewers, the video that you saw every morning of mostly Ken Herzlick, and thanks for coming in. You're like,
you're welcome. Good morning.
Because you used to prowl the nights. I said, come on in at 7 o'clock.
That was fun.
The other thing is, you said when you got up here, you covered a ton of stories in this very area around where WGN sits, didn't you?
Yeah, I was looking out the window here, and we're right next to the Swiss hotel. And I think it was back in, 94. Nelson Mandela had a visit to Chicago, and it was early in the morning, and he was out on a walk, believe it or not, with Mel Reynolds, of all people.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and they walked around.
Later to be imprisoned.
Yeah, Reynolds, and they walked around Grant Park, and on the way back, he was gracious enough to stop and give myself and a couple other reporters that were there an interview, which was fascinating. You know, he was very gracious.
And this is your hour. Over those 30 years, by this time every day, you had dropped off tapes at all of the stations, right?
It was shooting freelance overnight news for all the TV stations, and including quite a bit of stuff for CNN.
Wow. You know, and there was a lot of international work, too. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Tribune if you have a Sunday lying around, and there's some beautiful photos online, mostly photos by the great Aaron Hooley.
This is great.
What do you think of the story?
Did a great job. It was fun. I got a lot of calls from people I hadn't heard from in years, which was fun.
Hey, Ken, can you loan me $500?
No. I did get a few tape requests.
You're successful. Can I borrow $500?
I did get actually about 3 tape requests, so I got to go dig those out this week, so that's fine.
Well, I'm going to keep you this whole hour. You are still, even though you don't shoot, you're still a news junkie. I mean,
I love news. I can't get enough. I, in my living room, have 9 televisions.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, 9
that are on 24 hours a day. They do not get shut off. And I've always been into news.
Sometimes, you know, what you did was kind of not diminished, but overlooked as, well, he just shoots video. I have ever, and you know this about me, we've known each other a long time, I have ever thought of you as a journalist.
Thank you.
You may not write stories, but then neither did good old Art Patak, the famous crime reporter who won a Pulitzer Prize.
I broke stories, though.
You broke,
quite a few stories.
Well, and, you know, I will read some of what, especially one of your colleagues, Carol Marine, had to say about you, and it's a really, really wonderful thing. Ken Herzlick is going to be here this entire hour. He would have been out now years ago. For 30 years, he would have been kind of sleepy now, but he's not sleepy.
Yeah.
He woke up to come here. Ken, that commercial just talked about PTSD.
Yeah.
And you were out covering countless, and literally almost impossible to calculate the number of tragedies that you saw out there, and shootings and things. How 30 years of that, Ken, it has to take a toll.
There's a buildup. I mean, you just see way too much. I try to forget a lot of it. You know, I try to go home and I don't discuss it with my wife when I get home. I just try and forget about it. Certain things do stick with you, things that involve children especially. Very difficult. And there's been, unfortunately, more and more of those covered of dozens and dozens of children being shot.
You know, you stop doing what you do, and what Ken did was go out every night, 6 nights a week, from 10:30 till very early in the morning, following police and fire and paramedics and other emergency personnel to see what was happening. What finally happened, I think the straw that broke your back, is you're traveling southbound on the Ryan.
Right. I'm at about 47th Street. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was headed to a homicide scene on off of 79th Street, which I've done
countless times.
And I was approaching 47th Street, and I started to hear what sounded like rapid-fire gunfire. And I'm, you know, I was a little disoriented.
Sure.
And the guy in front of me was being shot at.
Ugh.
And he was in the car with his girlfriend. And both he and his girlfriend were shot. He lost control of his vehicle and smashed into a guardrail.
Right in front of you?
Directly in front of me. And one of the bullets that was intended for his car ended up hitting my car. I was directly behind him. I did not immediately stop there because of the way the situation was. I went to the next exit. I got off, and fortunately, right at the top of the exit was one of the IDOT Minutemen. And I know a great number of those guys are fantastic people. And I said, this is happening. Got right on the radio, got an ambulance over there, got the state police over there. We went back to the scene. And fortunately, they were still alive.
Yeah, but
that scared the heck out of me, I got to tell you. And that you have to go with your gut in my business. You know, you just...
You always have, yeah.
Right. Just, you know, if it didn't feel right, you know, back off a little bit. And I decided pretty much that week that I'd had enough. That was it. I'm done with this.
I'm sure. Ken has a lovely wife, Karen Cape, and Karen once told me years ago, I wrote about Ken for the Tribune magazine almost 20 years ago, and she said that she spent the nights trying to sleep but also worried about you. This must have come as an incredible relief to Karen that you're out of the game.
Yeah, basically, she said, you're not going back. So she had a little bit of input.
You covered, and I'm sure some of these things haunt you. I mean, the Paxton Hotel fire, which I remember because I lived across the street from it at the time. A yummy Sandifer. If you charted or made a list of, not you because it's in your head, those of you out there made a list of the most tragic and frightening things that you saw on television over the last 30 years, that list would correspond to Ken Herzlick's working life.
Right, unfortunately. The Paxton Hotel definitely was
that
the
was
most
early
horrific.
On, too, wasn't it?
That was very early on. That was very early.
There was hotel on LaSalle Street.
An SRO, single-room occupancy hotel.
Yeah.
Fully loaded with people. A lot of them marginalized folks that were in there. And
sure.
Then they had a lot of problems in that building. All the windows on the first floor of that building had bars on them.
Ugh.
And this fire started in there toward the back of the building. And it's my understanding that they did initially have a fire alarm system, but for some reason, because it used to go off so often, all the people in the building wanted it turned off.
Ugh. Because they were smoking or doing something.
I don't know exactly why, but anyway, I was sitting down the street, which is probably about five blocks. I was sitting in the parking lot of the old Rock and Roll McDonald's, which is where I used to hang out waiting for stuff to happen. And I went with the first cruise there. I pulled up with literally the first engine that was pulling in there, and I never saw anything like this. There were people in every single window.
Ugh.
Of this thing that needed to be rescued.
I have been trying to convince Ken that he should, when he relaxes enough, put his thoughts and memories, good and bad, and experiences, good and bad, between the covers of a book. And I want you people to read the story that was in the Sunday Tribune about him and tell me that I'm not right. We got to take a break, but we're keeping Ken all the way until 8 o'clock, and then he's going to walk home. My guest, let me wait until 8 o'clock and you can go home, is Ken Herzlick, who was featured in one of my stories in the Sunday Tribune about his life and career. He grew up in Des Plaines and Chicago. You grew up in the Rush Street area. And you,
I did.
You
from 15 years old.
And took like, I don't know, 18, like Abraham Lincoln, you took like 18 buses and walked 12 miles.
Nobody went further to school than I did every day.
No kidding. But that's where you really got hooked on photography. You became a photographer,
right.
A very successful freelance photographer, and then met a couple of friends of your, mutual friends of your wife, who
right.
convinced you to explore your news junkie trouble.
Right. Chris Blackman and Wendy Frame. Chris was producing the 4:30 news over at NBC Channel 5, and Wendy was working with Carol Marine at the time.
Yeah.
And they saw that I had great interest in all this stuff, and they kind of encouraged it. And
well, you
we
made
got
an
here.
Incredible career. And during the last segment, which comes up after a break or two, we will talk about about how Ken, what Ken misses about probably the adrenaline rush. But here is something that the aforementioned Kara Marine, that esteemed TV journalist and is now the co-director of the DePaul Center for Journalism, Integrity, and Excellence. When I called Carol last week and said, "Hey, Carol, I want to talk to you about Ken Herslick," she said, "Oh, Rick, my God, I'd love to."
That's nice.
This is what she said that appeared in print. "Ken is genuine through and through. He is an old-school journalist in the best sense of that phrase. When I think of him, I think of all those others out there in the night, like the cops, the paramedics, and the firefighters, working while we are safe at home. There is a certain gratification to what he did, showing us all what people need to see. But there is also a toll that he has paid. Still, he has remained a good man, an admirable man." What did you think when you saw that quote?
I couldn't believe it. I was amazed.
Yeah.
I was very humbled. There's nobody, actually, that I respect more for integrity in news than Carol.
Well, I remember when Jerry Springer came over as a commentator on Channel 5.
Right.
She and Ron Majors were not happy with that, and she put her money where her mouth was.
She walked
a lot of
right
money.
Out.
She walked out.
I was there that night when she walked out.
Wow.
I was covering that, actually.
Was she sad or euphoric? Do you remember?
She felt that she was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
She was. That's how it was.
She also says that you have been, I didn't put this in the article, but more than gracious in helping out the students at the DePaul Center for Journalism, Integrity, and Excellence whenever she needed some kind of video to
right.
show them what was going on. Ken, you miss a lot of the people who were in that end of the of your career, the assignment editors and
right.
producers and reporters, but you also miss, and you form great relationships with the IDOT workers and the cops and the paramedics and the firefighters. They became friends.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. I'd run into these guys every night because it was a small community at night. You know, I would get waves from garbage truck guys that I knew. You know, it's just, there were a limited amount of people on the streets overnight.
Tell me about it. This is one of my first nights. Well, when I used to be out at 4:30 in the morning, I was stumbling home from someplace.
Yeah.
But today, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I saw what you sort of saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said and told me in this story, when I started, I was nobody. I didn't know a soul. I was scared. I was going places that I never knew existed, into some really tough neighborhoods, not knowing what to expect, what I was going to find. Plus, I didn't have any formal affiliation with any news organization, so I always tried to treat everybody respectfully.
Right.
You did so, and that's why I think the emergency folks who are out in the night, and you said also wonderfully, and we'll talk more about this, that you sometimes felt as if you were a player in a film noir.
It felt like that sometimes. You're driving down the street. Hey, I got to tell you, one of the oddest moments, it was just toward the end of my career, was in the beginning of COVID when everybody was off the streets.
Yeah.
I was on Lake Street. I went to look at something on the far west side, and I figured I would drive back downtown on Lake Street. As far as I could see in front of me and behind me, nothing.
Wow.
There was nobody on the streets. It was really creepy. It was
and you're driving under the L.
Yeah, you? Under the L of all places. I mean, it doesn't get any more creepy than that.
Well, it's been some life. Ken Herslick has given up after 30 years prowling the streets. I have a few minutes left with Ken Herslick, who has given up after 30 years the arduous job of filming the things that go on in the night in Chicago and delivering them to your television set and the increasing number of hours that morning television news is on here. Ken, what is your memories are filled. We talked about the Paxson Hotel fire and that whole
right.
thing. You have just covered so much. What sticks with you?
The E2 nightclub disaster.
Ugh.
Unbelievable. That's a place that was on South Michigan Avenue. There was a fight on the dance floor, which was on the second floor. One of the security guards sprayed pepper spray or mace, causing a stampede of people to run down a stairwell. There was one stairwell. There was one exit to the place, and they all got bottled up at the bottom of the stairs. The doors didn't open correctly, and there was a rush of people, and they were all smashed together.
I remember, it gives me chills.
It was unbelievable.
It gives me chills.
Unbelievable.
Right now.
21 people died there, and countless people were rescued. They had to cut open a back door that was chained, and they ended up pulling people from the back. And they did CPR on, I don't know, like 20-something people. 15 ambulances were there going back and forth. It was just a mess.
On a less tragic but equally compelling note, you were there when a certain mayor ripped up a certain airport, weren't you?
When Mayor Daley ripped up Meigs Fields in the middle of the night. I got a tip which I cannot discuss.
Of course.
And I went over there, and this is, you have to understand the context. This was just after 9/11. Everybody was still paranoid and crazy.
Sure.
So I've got this tip saying, go out to Meigs Field, look for heavy equipment, and you didn't hear it from me.
That's so, lovely. What a great tip.
Yeah.
What a
so
great tip.
I don't
tip.
Know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So I got out to Roosevelt Road, and I think it was Federal over there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I looked down Roosevelt Road, and there is an armada of construction equipment coming my way.
Wow.
Huge riding.
What time was this?
This is about a little before midnight, I think. Huge riding saws and light trucks and backhoes and everything. And they're headed out to Meigs Field. So I jumped out of my car. I shot these things. And then I followed them across to Meigs Field. And blocking the entrance to Meigs Field was the first deputy superintendent of the police, who is the highest-ranking police officer that works overnight, generally.
Mm-hmm.
He is not generally a person that blocks a street.
I think. Yeah.
This whole thing was on the QT. People had to sign waivers. All the construction people had to sign waivers, it's my understanding, to not speak about it. And anyway, long story short, they go in there, and they just start ripping the place.
Wow.
And they start... Wow. Grinding X's into the
I saw it after the fact.
The tarmac, and there was a convention of heart specialists in town and I think 17 of them flew in on their own
private planes, yeah,
and they were stuck there for a while. They had to get a special permit from the FAA to take off on one of the taxiways because that was left.
Oh my god!
But wow. Daley wanted this thing ripped up. He thought it was a threat to safety.
Get it. Yeah.
But it wasn't. It really wasn't.
No. Ken Herzlich, you have had quite a life, and you have, as Kira Marine said in the story I wrote about you in Sunday's paper, you have brought to the public a lot of things that are scary and a lot of things that are sad, but I also think a lot of things that we needed to know. That's a real, real credit to you.
Thanks.
Now, you and your lovely wife, Karen, take it easy, please.
I will,
Have dinner together.
Okay.
And thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much.
Of all the people in the world I know who, I said, hey, it's at 7 o'clock. Ken's like, actually, that's fine. I'll be there.